Good to see everybody back out tonight. We're going to continue talking about Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 42 tonight, and we're just going through some Psalms. I think it's good, especially in our own time of unrest and sickness, that we do look at the Psalms, and we see how we aren't the only people or the only time that has faced, well, really even more difficult times than what we're going through. So we're just kind of looking at how the Psalms, how they encourage us and they shape us and they teach us how to pray and how to praise. And so this evening we're going to look at a psalm that I think we're all a little bit familiar with, Psalm 42. It's one of the Psalms, the sons of Korah. It says that it starts with this line, again, that we're probably all familiar with because most of us have sung this. It says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And again, we've sang that a lot of times. "As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you." I grew up singing that at various youth meetings and in worship, and I got to thinking about that phrase, especially as I read through the entire psalm, which we do here, which we're going to do here in just a moment. And I thought, what image comes to my mind when I think of that phrase? As a deer pants for flowing streams. And I've always pictured a deer standing there drinking from a tranquil stream of water. And I don't know what you think of when you think of that or hear that phrase, "as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God." And again, I've always thought of a deer drinking from a creek, but that is not what the psalm says. It doesn't say, "As a deer drinks from flowing streams, so my soul drinks of you, O God." That's not what it says. It says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." This is not about a psalm about a deer drinking from the streams of water. It's a psalm about a deer panting for streams of water. The psalmist isn't saying, "I drink from you, that I'm like a thirsty deer and I'm getting my fill from you, O God." He's saying, "I'm parched. I'm dying of thirst. I'm like a deer panting for water." In our mind, we shouldn't necessarily imagine a deer drinking from streams of water when we hear these words. We should think of a deer wanting and longing and desiring for drink and streams of water. And the psalmist here is saying, "This is how I feel. I feel incredibly thirsty for your presence right now. And in this moment, I don't feel satisfied. I don't feel like my thirst is being quenched, and I'm so thirsty for you." And again, as we talked about last week, this reminds me of what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." It isn't the full and happy. It's the hungry and the thirsty. The psalmist here is discussing his discontentment with this situation that he's found himself in. Let's continue. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' For these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go to the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping the festival." He says, "I remember the good times. I remember when we used to go up to the house of God with shouts of gladness and praise and the multitudes coming along and keeping the festivals. I remember how great and how wonderful it was, but that's not what I'm feeling right now. Right now, my tears are my food day and night. My enemies are saying to me, 'Where is your God?'" Verse 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you and the lands of Jordan and of Hermon and Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, 'Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Again, this psalm is about a moment in life that I believe we have all experienced. A moment where we are asking the same question that our enemies are asking, where is God? And they taunt the psalmist with that. Where is your God? Why doesn't he show up? Why doesn't he help you? Why doesn't he save you? And the psalmist says, I'm thirsty for that salvation. I'm thirsty for the moment I can praise you and say, you showed up. You did what you promised you would do. You saved me. You took care of me. You blessed me. But in this moment, I am thirsting for your salvation. I'm thirsting for your presence. And so he says in verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? You can see this conversation that this psalm elicits for us to have with ourselves. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Why do you doubt? Why do you despair? Why do you believe the lie that God is not ever going to show up? Hope in God, he says. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. One of the things that I think the Psalms helps us do is celebrate salvation. To celebrate God's salvation. To celebrate when God shows up. To celebrate when God helps us, to celebrate when God blesses us, to celebrate when God makes the wrong things right. And the Psalms also help us to anticipate God's salvation. The Psalms both help us celebrate salvation and to anticipate salvation. And that's something sometimes we don't talk a lot about. We as Christians, we know that we have been forgiven, and we know that we have been justified in the sight of God, and that we've been adopted into his family. We've been made holy. We've been made sanctified, and we put a lot of emphasis on celebrating salvation, but we don't put a lot of emphasis on celebrating emphasis on anticipating salvation. Faith shouldn't make us optimists. We really shouldn't be, or we often talk a lot of times about optimism and pessimism. Optimism is taking a glass, of course, and saying it's half full. It puts that spin on it that says, no matter how bad the situation is, I still believe there's some good that can come out of it. And of course, pessimism is the exact opposite of that. It sees the glass as half empty. Things are worse than they actually seem. And it puts that negative spin on things. But faith doesn't do either of those things. Faith is realistic about the situation, but it also anticipates the salvation of God. It anticipates the fact that things will be better than they've ever been before because God will act. But it's also realistic about the current situation. It admits the pain of the current situation. Faith should not make us hopelessly optimists, where we say, no, nothing's really is that bad. Everything's fine. Everything's good. The psalm teaches us to acknowledge the pain, the suffering, the brokenness. The psalms teach us to say, no, I'm broken. I'm hurting. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. This is bad, and I don't like it. But God will show up. But God will act. But God will fix all the brokenness. God will set everything right. And that's the tension that we so often have to live in. We think we either have to be optimists or pessimists, but I reject that idea. I think the scripture teaches that people of faith have to acknowledge the reality of the brokenness, but anticipate the salvation of God. That's what the Psalms, I believe, help us to do. We celebrate salvation, but we also anticipate salvation. To say, I'm thirsty for you, O God. I'm thirsty, like a deer who is dying of thirst. I want you to show up. Sometimes that's all we can pray. Lord, come quickly. I thirst for you, anticipating that when Jesus appears, he will set everything right. But just because we know that, just because we know that a day is coming when all the evil will be destroyed and will be put under the Messiah's feet and all things will be submitted to God and the glory of God will fill his creation, just because we know that that is true doesn't mean we have to be apathetic about the reality of brokenness now. It doesn't mean we have to be dismissive about pain right now. It doesn't mean we have to be optimistic and pretend that the brokenness and pain isn't real and isn't as bad as it seems. In fact, it might be worse than it seems because we can't see the cosmic evil that is going on behind the scenes. We can't see the forces of evil behind the scenes, but we know that that is a reality. But we also anticipate. We also have confident expectation that Jesus will set everything right. And that's the tension that faith teaches us to live with. The tension that says, yes, there is some brokenness, some serious brokenness in the world. Sometimes I find myself broken and thirsty and hungry. Thirsty for God to show up. I'm thirsty for God to fix all of this. And I know he will. And so I anticipate his salvation. And so I won't despair. I won't trust myself. I won't trust men. I won't trust human solutions. I'll trust in the Lord. As the psalmist says, he is my salvation, my rock, my refuge. And let's try to be those kind of people. A people that is honest about the brokenness of society, about the brokenness of the world, and the brokenness even within ourselves. But let's also be a people who anticipate with confident expectation the coming salvation of our God. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. As always, if you find yourself needing the prayers of the congregation to help with your walk in any way, now would be an opportune time to come as together we stand and we sing.